It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews. The Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep. The ultra-comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews. And the customizable modular Bob's sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero. The Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. We have the NFL Draft just three nights away. Down at the Landing in Liberty for the second year in a row. I can't wait for that.
And this show is brought to you by Salvation Army's Down for the Challenge. Register today to rappel down GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium on May 22nd at downforthechallengekc.com.
We put our mock 3.0 for the Kansas City Chiefs. My favorite one that we've done to this point. We did that earlier before the show, and we brought it up at about 6:30. It's in the first hour of the show. All the shows will be podcast on our podcast page. Just go to 96.5 The Fan. Go to podcast. Center that 435 Podcast Network. Like all things Vern. If you want to hear from Royals, we're on there. The 249 miles of football with Drew Nixon's on there as well. But you can catch the Character Concerns.
Yeah, wherever you listen to podcasts, just make sure you download, subscribe, give us five stars, whatever platform you listen to us on. We'd appreciate that.
Don't worry, the text line also 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. We'll get to your questions and comments. Coming up about 8:30, we have NFL.com's right there leading mocker, Chad Ryder, coming up at 7:30. He's put out his seventh-round mock draft. He always does a great job. He does several during the year, including a third round, a three round, one, a five round, and we actually did seven rounds here. We'll talk to him as we do each and every year coming up at 7:30. But right now, let's look to what a lot of people were talking about. Matt Miller, you might have heard on with Carrington Harrison earlier today, had an excerpt that he wrote about in one of his draft journals that came out earlier this week. Said, quote, "I've heard the Kansas City Chiefs are actively looking up to trade in round one. Of course, they signed left tackle Jalen Moore in free agency, but were otherwise quiet, opting to re-sign their own versus hitting the open market. A move up in round one would likely be for a long-term offensive tackle solution. I heard, this is what he hears, not me, I heard the goal would be to move in front of the Houston Texans. Obviously, they need a left tackle at this point. The LA Chargers as well to move up, because remember they got Alt, but then they moved John over to the right tackle instead of left, where he played at Notre Dame. But if you're going to move, better move up fast and fierce. Again, I think of Kelvin Banks. If you're going to move up, that's why Josh Simmons, hey, he may have more talent than anybody we've seen, but didn't play in the college football playoffs, didn't play in the national title game, hurt that patellar tendon, not going to be ready until August. For someone that size, that's a concern.
Yeah, it is concerning having someone coming off such a serious injury like that. And on top of that, we didn't get to see him in the playoff. So what would have happened had he played in those playoff games and not look quite as good as what he did in the previous games he played in? Donovan Jackson, I think, was the guy that stepped in place and played for him, the left guard that moved to the outside tackle. There. He pulled a Joe Tooney. So, but, you know, maybe he would have played well. We just don't know. But on top of that, there's also some things working against him. The arm length isn't quite what the Chiefs look for at tackle. And also, he's an Ohio State guy. Brett Veach doesn't draft Ohio State guys. At least he has not thus far. So maybe he breaks that trend this year and they go with a guy like him. But I'm not sure if I'm quite buying the report that they're looking to trade up for a tackle. Because first and foremost, last year it had came out that the Chiefs were looking to draft Kingsley Suamataia in round one. Obviously, round two is when they went and got him. He fell all the way to them at 63. They traded up and were able to get him with the 49ers. But it leaked out that they were looking at Suamataia at 32, and instead they traded up five spots and they went and got Xavier Worthy. So I'm not saying that it's not true. It could very well be true.
And keep in mind, he came in for a top 30 visit, so there was other questions that they had about him. They weren't exactly answered to what
– Yeah.
The player they drafted was not kind of the guy I think that they got.
Right.
Because a lot of people were thinking first round for Kingsley. Hey, he may turn out to be a great guard. Yeah. He might. It's not his job yet.
No, it's not
his job. Fight for it.
He's going to compete with Caliendo. But, like, my point is just as much as, like, I think a lot of the people who were looking for confirmation on, you know, looking to feed their confirmation bias are like, yeah, that means they're definitely going to take a tackle. It's like, yeah, sometimes these plans leak out for a reason. Like, we have seen, especially this draft cycle, we have heard some of the most wishy-washy-ass rumors go around about pretty much everybody. Like, today, it's the Giants are definitely not taking Shedeur Sanders. But last week, it's, oh, they're probably going to take Shedeur Sanders. And it's just back and forth, back and forth. Now, today, Will Campbell is pretty much locked in as the fourth overall pick to the Patriots. But what happens if 2 days from now, they decide, actually, we like Teteroa McMillan or we like Mason Graham? There's just so much wishy-washiness that's happening right now. And on top of that, it seems a little weird to me that the Chiefs draft plans will leak out 6 days before the damn draft.
Yeah,
That seems a little bit.
Ian, guess what, man? This is what I think.
Right after their pre-draft presser, that's when that news came out.
Veach
and I'm
ain't
like,
telling you. So bottom line is, he ain't telling you.
It just seems a little convenient that the draft, the entire draft plan leaked out 6 days before the draft, and we don't question it at all. Like, not one bit. Seems a little bit. I'm not saying it's not 100%. It's not true. It could very well be true, and maybe the Chiefs had had some sort of oversight in their organization. But it could also be a smokescreen that the Chiefs put out there to throw people off the scent. With
a lot
really
of smokescreens at this point. Mitch Holtus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, longtime voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, great voice. Mitch Holtus does his homework on the draft. Does a great job. Matt McMullen does it with him. Matt McGowan came in on a draft special.
We had him
last Thursday night.
Last week,
but
he was
great. This is where Mitch Holtus, when he joined the guys, this Bob and Dusty this morning, where he thinks the Chiefs sit with pick 31.
At 31, if they stay put at 31, which I think it feels like a move up or down to me, but at pick 31, I think interior defensive line, because what you want at 31, in my opinion, is an immediate starter, immediate impact week one, and then an eventual Pro Bowl / All Pro. Mm-hmm. And I think those guys are there in this draft at the interior defensive line. Not so much edge. Yes, there's talent there. But I think this team, if you find a young Chris Jones or Chris Jones complement.
And I do like Nick Skorton as well as far as the edge is concerned. But that's where Mitch sits with that. And I thought you would like this one. I thought you'd like this one a lot, Chris. Since you went Charles Grant at William & Mary, what's Mitch think about Mr. Charles Grant?
But my guy is Charles Grant of William & Mary.
Charles Grant. All right.
William & Mary. His length, 34 7/8. You watch his video. He is Trey Smith playing tackle because he takes no prisoners. He wipes people out. You're going, well, wait a minute. He's playing Wofford and, you know, who's he playing?
Liberty,
I don't care.
Yeah, right.
And a high school wrestler, which is a big deal to me because it's a big deal to our staff. If you look at high school wrestlers, great high school wrestlers, Creed Humphrey comes to mind here. That becomes such a big part of playing on the offensive and defensive lines. Mm. The use of leverage, quickness, hand placement, move, counter move. And so this guy was an awesome high school wrestler. He stayed at William & Mary. He is a bit of a dinosaur because I think these guys are, you're not going to be able to find these guys at FCS anymore. They're all getting poached by NIL. But if you go watch his video, you're going, if you're going to take a developmental guy, you take this guy. I love it. Now, his negatives are punch quickness. He plays in a zone-heavy scheme. We'll play some zone, but not a lot. You know, we're doing a lot of power-o, man-blocking, double-team and stuff. And then you have to be an awesome pass blocker. But to me, if you want my sneaky, if perfect world, I take Alfred Collins at any one of these picks on the defensive side. But offensively, I love Charles Grant and William & Mary.
I thought you'd like that one there, Chris Unocero. Charles Grant.
What I've been telling y'all.
Mr. Voice of the Chiefs likes him, your guy as well.
I've been talking about him for
with
months.
That. I'm with that as well. I'm with Charles Grant. I like him a ton. I definitely like the fact he played in the Senior Bowl and held his own, to be honest with you. Last but not least, Mitch was asked about when the Chiefs should go out and get a running back.
I think looking at this draft, you can also get that at 66 or 95.
Okay.
And that's where I think a possible trade down could happen is, and you got to find a trade partner and somebody willing to, hey, we need to go to 31 to go get somebody. But then you pick up a fourth or fifth that you don't, or fifth that you don't have, or a fourth. And I think you can find that same guy.
But it's the great Mitch Holtus on that. We went in our mock, we went Dylan Sampson. With the Chiefs early on there in the second round. Not early on, but it was
late
in the second round.
Late
second round, but it was early on in the draft.
It was 63. And here's the thing. I think anywhere between 63 and 133 is where you're looking at for the Chiefs. Don't be shocked if they trade down from 66.
Was that Caleb second. Johnson, running back of Iowa, right, earlier? But I thought, you know what? Let's go back to the drawing board on this, because right, I think we can still get running backs later on.
Right, and so I think you could very well – Like we took in our final seven, we took Dylan Sampson at 63. But I think it's very possible that you can take, I mean, a myriad of running backs anywhere. Like I'm still gonna pine for this. I probably got friends listening that love this. I'd be cool with DJ Giddens in round three somewhere. If you trade down from 66, if you wait till 95, I think he might still be there. Like, I would love DJ Giddens from K-State. So there's options there. Devin Neal would be another interesting option. I think it'd be a good fit for the Chiefs as well. But to me, it's like, this is such a really good running back class.
The best part
there's
of it
a
is
lot of
you
options.
And I, you will watch KU and K-State, but we're not emotionally invested in either program.
I'm a Florida guy.
So we'll tell you what, like, it is. I'm a Missouri guy, so we'll tell you like it is.
I'm not telling anybody to draft Montrell Johnson or, like, you know, another former Florida guy is Trevor Etienne. Don't draft him.
Yeah. And by the way, Veach also spoke about his hot zone. Remember a couple years ago, we talked about the hot zone being the second, third round. It's when he made that move for Orlando Brown. He ends up, you know, get Orlando Brown, but he also got pick 58, which turned into Nick Bolden. Here's what Veach says about what he considers the hot zone and the possibility of the Chiefs trading up.
Yeah, P, I think it's probably a tick down. I think typically in years past, that number has been anywhere from 15 to 18, even 19. I think the last I checked, it was right around 12 or 13. So it is lower, although I will say this, in that secondary wave of guys that, you know, are in the late round, high two consideration, that number's probably a little higher. So hopefully that provides a little bit more flexibility on both ends. So I think that top end number is just a tick down from years past. And I think have a pretty consistent game plan year in and year out. And if one of those guys, however unlikely it is that we have in that 12 or 13 or 14 number range, if they were to fall into a reasonable landing spot, I'm sure we would make some calls, and typically it's unlikely to happen, but we all know a few years ago it did happen with Trent McDuffie, and we were able to do that. So that will be kind of our mindset again, and we'll see if it works out. I don't think it'd make too much sense for us to, you know, we need all these picks and we need to add depth on multiple fronts and the secondaries and receivers. So trading multiple picks to just get one piece doesn't really make sense. But I think if a guy we really like does fall into the 20s and it's reasonable, I think we'll be aggressive. Otherwise, I think we'll be happy with adding players at each round and multiple players in three.
Veach is getting that reputation. What he calls you, he's probably not get you the answer. He's probably not going to get you because he keeps going to the Super Bowl, and he's been doing it by flipping the roster and building. Now, keep in mind, his picks turn into costing him some money, right? Creed Humphrey, number one paid center in the NFL. Trey Smith's going to get paid. top guard money. He's a sixth round pick. Again, he's making these picks and they're turning into gems.
I mean, it's better pay your own guys than bring other people in. So I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, nope. Like I think the most interesting thing there, just listening to that clip, almost makes you think it might be a good idea for them to trade out of round one, just kind of based on what they were. What he
was
saying.
You on that. I think they wanted to when it was in Kansas City, but yeah. Then there was that little, hey, we're in
Kansas
City.
I think it was certainly possible.
With Lee Summitt, K-State.
I don't think that was the decision making. I think they liked him and they probably had him graded as an early second, and they were like, nah, we might as well take him.
But they've tried to trade back in previous years and it hadn't worked out.
Yeah, it hadn't worked out. And you know what?
In trading up, Dallas wouldn't take their call.
It might not work out. Well, they took their call. They just like, no. But they they might do it this year. I mean, because we could see a situation where like a Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe, a team decides to move back into the first round and take one of those guys at 31. That's a possibility for sure. I mean, I think everything's on the table for this year. We might have a situation where on Thursday at the draft party at the landing, the Chiefs don't make a pick.
Could happen, and then we'll let you know what exactly did happen later on, and it'll make the draft pretty spicy going forward. Coming next, though, we also did an NFL mock, so we did every single team. We'll bring you that. Then don't forget Chad Ryder, NFL.com, Mr. Mac Daddy at 7:30.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to Messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. Chad Ryder, NFL.com, joins us at 7:30. Price Carter, Arrowhead Attic, in studio, 8 o'clock.
Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com.
And we're looking forward to Chad joining us here. But before we do, we did the full NFL mock. We've done this a couple times now because it's a good test, I think, for the Chiefs as far as, okay, who's maybe going to be there? Because it is important. Who's maybe going to be there? It's great to just pick a guy and say, see, they're going to get the first round. Well, it doesn't always work out that way. There's other opportunities, there are pitfalls, there are roadblocks
that come in your way. This will be our official entry into the mock draft contest on Thursday at the Landing in Liberty. So if you want to be up there, try to compete against us to win that cash prize of $965. Make sure you show up at the Landing on Thursday so that you can put your mock draft contest entry into the box and try to challenge us.
So the top five. We go, obviously, Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, 1-2-3. That is to Cam Ward to the Titans, Travis Hunter to the Browns, Abdul Carter to the Giants. Will Campbell, LSU, the tackle. It's looking more and more like that's a lock as well as they've kind of zeroed in on Will Campbell. And to round out the top 10, at 5, Mason Graham, the defensive tackle out of Michigan, to the Jags. Austin Jente, top running back, going to the Raiders at number 6. Armon Mimbu out of Missouri goes number 7 to the Jets. T-Mac, Teterell McMillan, goes 8th to the Panthers. Shedeur Sanders, that was a big debate, whether to go with Shedeur Sanders or not. I felt the Saints, with Derek Carr's situation, they go Shedeur Sanders, pair him with Kellen Moore. So Shedeur Sanders at 9 to the Saints. Malachi Starks, the best safety in this class, at number 10 out of Georgia to the Bears.
I think a very solid top 10. Right now, I think that's probably pretty damn close to being accurate. I mean, the only thing I can see in is maybe Teterell McMillan falls a little bit. Maybe we see a Jalen Walker or Mykal Williams go a little bit higher. But
I know everybody's looking at Shedeur as kind of the story of the draft. Which right. I think T-Max, Teterell McMillan, kind of, where's the first receiver go off the board?
I still think he's going to go top 10. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by that. I don't know why anybody would – like, I've seen literally nothing as – the only thing I will say, the topic, the talk that he had about not watching film outside of practice, not a good – that you should never say anything like that ever. It's never a good
idea.
Best
just keep your mouth shut.
Lie. Just lie. Like, don't tell the truth if that's the truth. So that's not a good look. But outside of that, I think a good top 10.
We go SEC the next 4 picks. Jalen Walker to Frisco, the linebacker out of Georgia. Jihad Campbell, the linebacker out of Alabama, number 12 to the Dallas Cowboys. Keep an eye on running backs, though, in that situation, because Dallas has been desperate for that back. Keep an eye on Omarion Hampton in that situation as well. Kevin Banks, the tackle out of Texas, we didn't have him going very far. He goes number 13 to the Dolphins. Tyler Warren, the best tight end in this draft, in my opinion, goes number 14 to the Colts. Mykal Williams, the edge out of Georgia, goes number 15 to the Falcons. Jahdae Barron, the corner out of Texas, goes number 16 to the Cards. Mike Green, who led the NCAA in sacks last year at a Marshall, 17.5, tested very well at his pro day. It was ridiculous. We had him going to the Bengals at 17, which that's what the Bengals – if the Bengals go offense, they need to be slapped because they need to
They need to work on They got defense. A lot of money on their offense. They need to fix that defense bad.
But Mike Green with Trey Hendrickson, come on
They
now.
Need to draft defense come pretty much now. The whole draft if they're not taking O-line.
Matthew Golden, the receiver, second receiver off the board. Texas receiver goes to the Seahawks at 18. We go edge, Donovan
– Eze Ruaku.
There you go. He goes number 19.
You had a pause there. You're like,
man, you're my
pronunciation guy.
20. Marion Hampton goes to the Broncos at 20. Then Jackson Dart goes 21 because Steelers definitely need a quarterback. They don't have one.
I think it's a reach, but I also wouldn't be surprised if
they need one.
If they took it. I'm not taking it at 21.
No, but Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle out of Michigan, goes to the Chargers at 22. We have Luther Gordon off the board to the Packers at 23. Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, to the Vikings at 24. Josh Simmons, here's where we have Simmons going to go to be where Tunsil was with the Texans, 25. Then Amika Egbuka, the third wide receiver, him out of Ohio State, goes to the Rams. Don't forget Puka's not there. Or not Puka, but Cooper Kupp is not there. He goes on to Seattle. So they had to replace that talent. Tyler Booker, the best guard in the draft. Out of Alabama, we have going to the Ravens. Gray Zabel, the everything offensive lineman, tackle, guard, albeit I think you're going to play him at center. He can play not in Detroit.
I think he'll be guard.
But he can't play center as well.
So he can. Yeah, he can play. He can play all three, but he's probably going to be best at guard or center.
We have Walter Nolan, 29th, going to Washington, the defensive lineman out of Mississippi. James Pierce to the Buffalo Bills. Derek Harmon to the Kansas City Chiefs at 31. And Colston Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan, could go way earlier, to be honest with you, but we have him going to the Eagles at number 32.
I like what we did. I will say this. I'm not buying the Shedeur Sanders slides out the first round talk. I'm not buying the Teterell McMillan falls out the top 10 talk. Maybe he does, but I'm not really buying it. And I know we had this debate about the 12th pick with the Cowboys. And the easy one is Omarion Hampton. But Jihad Campbell is...
Jerry Jones like splash just, and sizzle.
That's just his kind of guy, Jihad Campbell. Yeah, he's got Micah, but...
We'll see where he goes.
I'll tell you this. Like, you add another guy like that to your defense and Jihad, man. Like,
hey, we'll talk about slides next. Chad Ryder, NFL.com, next.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal.
If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, home of the Kansas City Chiefs. Jay Binkley, Chris Onocero, Jacob Muster producing the operation.
Brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellExteriors.com.
One of my favorite guys to talk to is from NFL.com. We do it each and every year. It's kind of been a tradition on the program because when Chad Ryder puts out his mock drafts, we like to read it. But Chad Ryder is going to be, of course, he's from NFL.com. NFL Network provides live coverage of the draft all the way, Thursday through Saturday in Green Bay. They have it covered. Don't forget, 7 o'clock Central NFL Network. You can watch the first round coverage. Chad, good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, it's great to have you on, Chad. We always look forward to when you put the mocks out. We've certainly done our share of them. We do this pretty much throughout the entire season. It changes all the time, although we've been pretty consistent with keeping a lot of our picks together. We do 32 team NFL mock drafts, not like you do. We don't go all seven rounds. We do with the Chiefs, but not the other teams. What did you find was kind of your biggest dilemma as you went to put at least your first round mock out this year? Was it Shedeur Sanders, where he may or may not slide? Obviously, Cam Ward, who you had going number one, is an easy one. What about the quarterback situation? How much trouble do you have with that?
You always have trouble. And this year, you're really talking about three rounds worth of trouble with quarterbacks because you're not sure if team, you know, a lot of people will push guys into late first that probably won't go there at the quarterback position. And then you've got Jackson Dart. Is he a late first round guy? Is he a top 10 guy? Tyler Shook, Jalen Milroe, you know, which of these guys are actually going to be first rounders and not? And which one is going to fall into round three? Because there's always one guy that is still available in round three. So that's really the toughest part of these mock drafts is not what you think of them, but what teams will think of them.
Sure.
And how desperate they are for quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's the thing, Chad.
It's a supply and demand issue.
Yeah, it seems like there is a desperation for quarterbacks, even like Sam Darnold. You know, we knew he was going to get that big payday. You knew he was going to get that big payday. Well, out there, someone's going to pay it. Didn't finish down the stretch like you'd probably prefer him to, but you knew he's going to get the cash. Well, I'm curious, though. Where would you have had Michael Penix last year? Had he been in this class, would you have him better than Cam Ward, or would you have him still being a top 10 pick?
I would not have had him better than Cam Ward, and partially because of the injury history he had when he was at Indiana.
Sure.
And so I think that's part of the issue. But in terms of just a pure pocket guy, he would be right in the mix with maybe ahead of Sanders and Dart, possibly. But again, you still have the injury history either way. So I think there's still a question that has to be answered.
One of the most interesting discussions that we've had in Kansas City is about the left tackle class and just how deep it is and just how many guys are worth taking in the first round. I believe you have 5 offensive tackles in your 7-round mock. How strong do you think this tackle class is in comparison to like the last 2, which were considered pretty good?
Yeah, it's not as good. And that's why I have, the Chiefs moving up for a guy in the first round to really solidify that position in Arante Ursary out of Minnesota. He just fits the body type that Andy Reid and Brett Veach tend to like.
Kansas City guy too, Chad. He's from Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I that made a lot of sense to me. If they're going to wait till the end of round 2, you're looking at Anthony Belton from North Carolina State, another guy that fits the mold that Andy Reid likes with those kind of guys. So there's a couple of options down the line, but really the first round is, if you really need a left tackle, the first round is really where you're going to, maybe the early second round. But that's not a strength of this class this year.
One guy that I find really interesting is Charles Grant, the left tackle to William & Mary. Do you think of him as far as like having the tools that translate to being a starter at the left tackle position?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can be a starter. He might shift into guard potentially because he's a finisher. He's a strong blocker. He's not the most athletic guy, and he's not the biggest guy, so a zone team might put him at guard instead of tackle, but he's going to get a chance to play tackle, I'm sure. Somebody will give him that opportunity. And, he's been hurt for a while now, so it's not clear. It would have been nice to see him at the Senior Bowl and some other places to get up against this competition, but I'm clearly talented, has been a top 100 pick for quite a while, and probably a mid-second round guy, and you take a chance that his game will translate to the next level.
And Chad, the Ursary pick that you had, the tackle out of Minnesota, yeah. Thor Nystrom, that we bring on to talk mock draft too with us. He's from Minneapolis. He goes to a lot of those games. Absolutely loves the way he plays. And of course, we remember him playing at Ruskin High School here in Kansas City. This guy's an absolute stud. So you have the Chiefs moving up. It's interesting. I wonder if Baltimore would take their call though. You had Baltimore taking their call. It was that call that got him Orlando Brown. It also brought over pick 58 in that trade that brought over Nick Bolton. Ended up being the Kansas City Chief. And, of course, the Buffalo Bills, Chiefs bypassed them to get Trent McDuffie. Of course, they gave us Patrick Mahomes to pick number 10.
Right.
And then the Chiefs jumped ahead of them to get Xavier Worthy last year. I just felt like there'd be 2 teams that wouldn't take their calls, being the Ravens and the Bills. But I digress. They keep answering.
Yeah, teams, and they shouldn't be fearful of doing that because – they have to believe in their own scouts, and if they get additional picks, they have to believe that that will make their team better. But I think in the end, teams really, like I said, they have to believe in their process. And if another team is willing to give them draft capital, they should do it. In-division trades are more rare than intra-conference trades. So I think it's more eye-opening when the Vikings and Lions pull off a trade and you're like, really, in the division you want to do that? But they happen interconference all the time, even among playoff teams.
One of the more interesting names that you have mocked to the Chiefs is Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle from Toledo. A lot of people think he could potentially be a late first round guy.
Chiefs love the Mac.
They love guys like that, and they love guys who have the athletic profile that Alexander has. What do you see from his game that you think would translate well for the Chiefs?
Well, I think when you're talking about a guy that can penetrate up front, you know, he's not the Derek Nandi low center of gravity type guy that that would complement Chris Jones. But I think you can get that guy a little bit later in the draft or as an undrafted free agent, really. What you're really looking for is that second penetrator is going to take advantage if Jones gets double teamed, you know, on one side, you want that guy that can get into the backfield. And that's Alexander. I'm not sure that he has the game to be a top 50 pick, to be honest. But I think in the top of the third round, late in second round, that's a pretty good place of value for him.
And when you look at this draft class, where do you think the running backs kind of fit, Chad? I'm curious in your opinion, because some people think they're the best. Even the Brett Veach, the Chiefs GM, basically said the running back's the deepest class as far as positional players in this draft. I look at it, I really like the defensive line. I do like the edges, to be honest with you. But the running backs, I would think, are third. But that's just my opinion. But other people in the NFL, including draft Knicks like yourself, may think that's the best class in the bunch.
Well, I think in terms of first round to seventh round, it might be the deepest. There's going to be 15 day three guys taken, and a lot of those guys are going to contribute as rookies. So in that sense, they might be the deepest. Defensive tackle, I would probably argue, is slightly deeper because I think there's more day two value at that position. But certainly you're going to be able to find a guy a bit later, in the draft as a running back. And, you know, I projected Jaden Blue from Texas going to the Chiefs a couple of mock drafts ago. I thought that would be a really great fit, but they're not going to do that. He's probably not going to be available for them now. But I have them taking Jarquez Hunter out of Auburn on day three, and he's some SEC coaches thought he was the best back in the conference, a two-way guy, and I think you can get a lot of guys kind of like that day three this year.
As far as receiver goes, receiver is a position that we always like to kind of revisit because you kind of see how many teams out there are pretty stacked at that position. If the Chiefs were to go receiver, where do you think would be the best spot for them to find a guy to go get?
Well, I think as early as round two, if you like the value that you get, they could go that direction. But I think there's enough edge guys. Alexander could be a second round pick as well as that early third. I think probably round three would be, in my mock draft, I don't have them a third round pick because they make a trade. But, you know, in that 3-4 area might be kind of the sweet spot for them if they feel like there's a good value there to pick somebody up to, you know, help the depth of that position a little bit, given injuries and whatnot at that position. I think that's really the middle of the draft would be the best place for them to kind of bolster that.
Yeah, it's kind of curious, these wide receivers. We saw last year a tied record from 2004 with the seven. We saw the eight offensive linemen or tackles match the 2008 draft. And I keep looking at this, Chad. I keep thinking about Burden and Luther Burden. He's so much talent. Just watching him in high school in the stuff he did at Missouri. I know guys out there like Matt Miller, you know, love Luther Burden. We do too, in what he can do.
Well, Miller's a Missouri guy.
That's true.
You know, he's a little biased. I'm just kidding. I love Matt.
But Luther Burden,
this year's class is not as good.
He's not.
And a guy like Burden could end up a first round pick, even though he's not the fastest or even the quickest. But he's got that kind of Debo Samuel type thing where he's just really tough to bring down. He's tough through contact. He gets deep, but he can also be used on shorter passes. I like him as a guy that is just more of a forceful runner rather than an elite, you know, speed guy.
Don't forget Chad Ryder in NFL Network. Of course, the NFL Network provides live coverage of this draft all the way through all three rounds. Of course, it's 7:00 Kansas City time on the first night of the draft. Follow Chad Ryder on Twitter. That's Chad_Reuter, R-E-U-T-E-R. He's been doing this for about 25 years. The guy's absolutely outstanding. We love looking at his work and everything he puts in and the time that he puts in to his mock drafts. Not just for your favorite team, but all teams. That's what Chad does. Chad, I can't thank you enough. Thanks for coming on once again.
You bet, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right, there you go, Chad Reuter.
Thank you.
Right there. Well, we'll talk about Chad and some of the things he said there, because I think there's some stuff that was very important there. Of course, he's looking at every single team in the NFL. We'll talk about that stuff when we come back next. Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Chris Inocero, Character Concerns, NFL Draft Special, Jacob Mustard producing the operation. Big thanks to Chad Reuter, NFL.com. Coming out, as Ian Rapoport said, when he puts his seven-rounder out, we pay attention. It's just a tradition that we like to do, bringing Chad Reuter on.
We have a lot of traditions. I mean, obviously, Chad Reuter, Matt McMullen, Thor.
Yeah, we stay with the same guys, you know?
Yeah.
Get our guys.
Well, we get good guys.
And we have Price on here today. We joined Arrowhead Addict a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the Intangibles podcast.
The Intangibles, so we'll talk about that coming up at 8 o'clock. But Chad joined us. He had Ursary. I had the Chiefs trading down with the Rams, Ravens.
I question, because I'm not 100% sure that the Ravens are going to do business.
You know
like
what?
That
I've been saying that about the Ravens and Bills. They should hang up and say, "Hey, this is a Wendy's. I'm sorry, Mr. Veach. It's not the right number."
I'm good, bro. You know what? Yeah. I appreciate the fact that you wanted to do business with us.
How you been doing?
You've been kicking our asses for years. We're good. We're good.
So you don't take that call. But anyway, the Rams, I do think, are a legitimate trade partner sitting at 26.
I think so, too. I also think the Vikings at 24 as well. That's an option for the Chiefs.
So we
have to
look at these teams. You rule some out. Like last year, we ruled Buffalo out. Obviously,
we did, and then they
Buffalo's that girlfriend. They'll keep taking your call. You know what I'm saying? So I ruled them out, but hey, it worked out for the Chiefs. They had, but they had Ursary going to tackle from Ruskin High School.
High school, yeah.
And we had Thor Nystrom from NFL Draft Live, our fantasy live updates and his mock drafts. He got a chance to go watch him several times in person. I don't really watch a lot of film, but he goes in person if they're playing for the Gophers and seeing some Big Ten football. And Ursary's a good player. It's a good player. Don't know if he meets all the standards of what the Chiefs want, but we know the guy can play.
Yeah, he's not an immediate starter. He's a guy you're going to have to sit for a year, I think, but certainly has talent to play at the NFL level. We'll see if he fits what the Chiefs' criteria is for an offensive tackle. I think that remains to be seen.
He's good. I just don't think the Chiefs would trade up in the first round for him.
I don't think you need to trade up for Ursary.
Yeah, I think you trade back into the second round.
Yeah, I think you could trade into the second round and still get him.
And he has shorter arms, too. He's 33 and 1/8. I understand it's the long arms, you think, because he's 331 pounds, but it is the shorter arms. And I get it, Jalen Moore, underneath 34-inch arms as well, but he's proven.
Yeah.
Ursary hadn't proven himself yet. And as Andy Reid said today, they have a history of taking Western Michigan guys, which they have in the past with Allegretti, with taking Sky Moore. Some worked out and some haven't.
Yeah. I mean,
it is the NCAA hockey champions, though.
Yeah, that is. Like I said, that's kind of part of the game of drafting. Sometimes you're going to whiff, sometimes you're going to hit. But for me, it's like if you're going to get Ursary round one, I just don't think that's where you go. I think round two, get some other value there, accumulate a pick or two, and then you see what you can get on day two.
He had the Chiefs going edge in the second round. I'm with that, man.
A guy I really like in Landon Jackson.
Landon Jackson,
out of Arkansas.
Big time, big tall, 6'6", edge out of Arkansas.
Incredible, incredible athlete. He tested really, really well at the combine. And
ran a 4.68 40 for his size.
Vertical was it four over 40?
It was inches, over 40 and a half.
Yeah, it was a 40 and a half for his he's an athlete.
10'9" broad.
He is an incredible athlete. Like, that's a guy I think would, and I've said this, I talked about this at the end of last year. I was like, Landon Dickerson would be a nice fit for the Chiefs. He did not look great at the Senior Bowl because they had him Landon Jackson.
If you're nasty.
They tried to have him. He was trying to show off his speed rush moves. They're not good. He's a power guy, but he was trying to show some speed stuff and it wasn't good. But man, he's really talented, I think, and I think he would be a good fit.
Lance Zierlein compared him to Logan Hall. It was his NFL comparison from NFL Network. At the combine, regardless, it's tough. You and I have put out our mock. You can check that on the podcast page. We go defensive line with Derek Harmon in round one. Went quickly to running back with Dylan Sampson in two. We didn't waste any time.
No.
Dylan wasn't there.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's one where it's like, I think – there's a lot of options. Like we said in the last hour, there's tons of options for the Chiefs to go at running back. I like, obviously, Dylan Sampson. Big fan of Giddens as well. Big fan of Caleb Johnson. Big fan of Devin Neal. Amarian Hampton, I think, is kind of out their range right now because it looks like he might go top 20, top 25. But there's a lot of really good options. Yeah, in this
I keep telling people, keep an eye on Tootin. They sold Tootin out of Virginia Tech.
Because that's a guy that is he's starting to rise up some people's boards.
Well, he ran a 4.32. Does he have a drop problem when catches?
Yes.
But here's the thing. He has a drop ball problem. But I will say this. Anytime he cut the ball out of the pocket, he didn't drop it. He had zero drops last year.
He's a smaller running back, but he's very strong and muscular, and he's hard to bring down.
Something that Beach did say, because he can take some of it, not a smoke screen.
Yeah.
And that is running backs with the ability to return the ball. Obviously, it's going to the 35 now. Touchbacks is to the 30. He's a very good returner.
Yeah.
He spent a lot more time returning in 23 than he did 24. Had two touchdowns that year. Like a 29-yard average on kickoff return. So when they do mention, well, you know, if a wide receiver or running back has kick returning ability, again, you could take the running backs and you could mark some of them off. Are they three down back? Can they block in pass protection? And are they good in special teams? He checks both those boxes.
Same thing with the receiver, too. That's one of the things I think you look at, like, day two, especially day three. Any receiver they take, you think would have to have a capability of being a return guy. Like, especially now
with
that
rule change. It's going to be important this year.
It's going to be very important.
They brought it up several times. Both Andy Reid and Brett Veach brought up returnability.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's going to be very important in this draft class because of the way that they changed the rules this year. So, yeah, I definitely think that's a good point. Return game is going to be very important for whoever they take, I think, especially at wide receiver. Maybe not quite as much a running
back. They like Nico Remigio, but they wouldn't mind upgrading that position.
Right, and also on top of that, you have to understand, like, Nico's really only making the team for his return game.
Yeah.
But if the Chiefs can get someone that can be a returner and also be someone they can trust to contribute on offense, I think that player would have much more value because you can – that's one less roster spot.
St. Joe's going to be tough for Nico, man. That's what St. Joe should be.
If they get a guy, they might not get a guy that does that. They might just say, hey, we're cool with Nico. But if they do get a guy with returnability, then I think that doesn't bode well for Nico.
Chiefs started phase one. It's no on-the-field type stuff. That's not till phase two. And then phase three, you have the OTAs, but they did start phase one today, the lifting, things like that. They're walking around the complex. You name it. We'll take a timeout. Bryce Carter, Arrowhead Attic, joins us in studio. What's he thinking? What's he thinking about the latest mock? What are Chiefs fans thinking? We'll pick his brain next.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.